Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Humaning Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Lloyd, and I love that you're here. From a young age, I've been asking life the big questions, and it's led me down some interesting rabbit holes. I'm going to be sharing with you some of the ideas, theories, practices, and ways of being that have made my life easier, better, and more fulfilling. We're going to explore what it means to be human, from the weird and the wild to the utterly wonderful, and we're going to talk about how we can do it in a way that not only leads to amazing results, but feels good in the process. Come on, let's human together. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Humaning Podcast. I am your host, Michaela Lloyd, and I love that you're here with me today. I am sharing something very important with you today, and I love it because not only are some of the ideas that I'm sharing things that I've been learning and thinking about and practicing and trying for, you know, a good 15 years now, it's also something that I created 2 years ago. And so it means that right now, while I'm in my baby cocoon with my beautiful newborn Bubba, I know that I get to bring you something that's honestly better than I would create on your standard week, but doesn't take any extra effort from myself right now. Yay! Snaps for efficiency. Snaps for letting life be easy. Snaps for not making a story about me being lazy, because honestly, this stuff is brilliant. So what I'm bringing you today is an episode, or really it's going to be a two-parter, around conscious creation and how we create our reality with our mind. I know it sounds a bit sci-fi, I know it sounds a bit out there, but we are talking literally how we create our reality and how we can cultivate a really beautiful reality based on what's going on in our inner world. This is something that blew my brain wide open when I first learned it. And when I learned it at the time, I do wish I learned some of the nuance. I do wish I understood the difference between thoughts and emotions. How thoughts, yes, we can dismiss, we can think new thoughts, but emotions need to be felt. Emotions need to be honored. If we try and bypass them, they, you know, stick around our body and do unhealthy things. A lot of things that I've learned along the way. And these are just my favorite conversations, really, to be having. So I love that we're having it here today. I love that you're hearing my freshly woken up, sexy morning voice. You are the first people I'm speaking to today. When I woke up, my partner had left for work for the day. My little Bubba is asleep in his bassinet. My other Bubba is with his granny. And so you're hearing it fresh off the press. We haven't had our hot lemon honey. We haven't had our coffee. We're just getting in. We're getting it done because we're efficient like that. And so this transmission I recorded 2 years ago for a group coaching program and educational content I did called Potent, which is all about shining bright without burning out, which is something I'm very passionate about, because anytime I go after something and try and do it the traditional hustle and grind way, I get sick, or I hate my life, or things never seem to go the way I wanted. And so I've sort of been on a lifelong pursuit to understand, how do I have the success that's uniquely meant for me, but do it in a way that I enjoy the journey? That has been like a lifelong pursuit for me. And I condensed that into 10 different elements. The episode that you're hearing today is all about conscious creation using our mind, and it is so packed full of goodness that I've split it into two episodes. So if you want to hear the second part, which is a bit more of the tactical side of things, then tune in to the next episode of the Humaning Podcast, which will be in a fortnight. If you've heard this fresh off the press in Arrow FM, or if you're watching on Spotify, or listening more rather, it may even be up now. Who knows? Woohoo! Get amongst. And if you hear anything in this podcast that references the fact that it's part of the group coaching program, just ignore it. It's just part of the fun. Also, if you have kiddies around, there are a couple of F-bombs sprinkled through there. In my defense, one of them was when I was talking about Voldemort. And I think we all agree that he can go F himself. So if you do have lilies around, be mindful of that. I like to think that they're, you know, sprinkled well. But, you know, me and my mum disagree on how often I should curse. And I win in this transmission. So enjoy, and I can't wait to hear from you if this brings anything up. If you've had any ahas, please feel free to share this with anyone you know and love that you think might benefit from this, because this is the goodness. This is, for me, this is some of the most interesting stuff out there. You might be into gut health, or you might be into Pilates or astrophysics, but for me, the inner workings of the human mind, the human body, the human ecosystem is just as good as it gets. So thank you for indulging these conversations with me. It is an absolute pleasure to be here and to be connecting my spirit to yours for another week. I'm so excited to be connecting with you today and talking about creating your reality, or what I'm also dubbing as cultivating your mind, because they really are one and the same. This for me is where my journey really started. This for me was the information that blew my brain wide open, and I woke up to this newfound reality where I realized that I have so much of a greater impact in this world than I was ever taught. This isn't just wishful thinking. This isn't just flippant positive thoughts. It's not just generic positive thinking. This is about understanding the tangible creative effects our mind has over this quantum reality. This is why we're going there. Because if we want to be potent, if we want to have an impact in this world by just being who we are, then we need to be working intelligently with life. We need to be working intelligently with this energy grid around us that we are, and really understand how we can use our mind and our intention and the power of what we can imagine to create an incredible reality for ourselves. Because whether or not you know it, whether or not you appreciate it, whether or not it's something you intellectually know on one hand, or if it's something that actually, like, that you harness on the daily basis to make your life better, either way, regardless of how you relate to the fact that your thoughts are creating a reality, they are. And so thoughts are very real forces in this world. Thoughts are dynamic, tangible forms of energy. Science now understands that thoughts have a tangible influence over their reality, because everything's energy. Thoughts are energy. Scientific studies have shown that through just observation, through simply a person being there, that affects reality. If a person observes a particle, it shows up like a finite fixed little particle. If a person is not observing the particle, it shows as a wave. Simply thinking, simply viewing your reality alters it. It makes it different. However, the beliefs that we hold within our unconscious become the lens through which we view reality. So whether or not your beliefs are supportive of you having all the things that you want, or whether or not your beliefs directly hold you back, they will become self-fulfilling. So it's really important we understand what's within our brain already. Most of what's within our brain already has been conditioned and cultured by the world around us. Our unconscious, when we first enter into this world, is completely wide open. It's almost like our head is completely open when we show up in this world. We just take everything in. We're a blank canvas. And of course, we have our own genetic dispositions. And, you know, some people believe that our souls have specific natures and influences. I personally love to believe that, because it, like, makes life more magical. But either way, when we show up in this world, we are taking in everything. We are viewing everything. And that's always the case. At the moment, you might be focused on my voice or my face or a fly that's annoying you in the room or that thing that you need to do next. Regardless of what you're consciously focusing on, your unconscious brain and your body is taking in everything. It's taking in the millions and millions and millions of pieces of sound data and light data and all this kind of stuff that's coming in, of which we can only actually focus on a little bit. It's the reason why your nose is up, unless you're Voldemort, in which case, tune off, I'm not going to help you, you evil fuck. Your nose is under your eyes. It's there all the time. But we don't walk through our life just being like, whoa, it's my nose. I can see my nose. Because we can only consciously focus on so much. So to spend our whole day walking around just being like, oh, there's my nose, that's not a smart use of our time. So we actually only consciously take in a small fraction of what we're actually consuming on a deeper level. And it goes somewhere. It doesn't just disappear into a black hole. This becomes our unconscious model of how the world works and how we view the world. It's almost like we just take in all this information, we make some calculations, and then we're like, this is how the world works. This is who I am. This is who I am within it. And what we don't understand is that our unconscious roadmap of how the world works, of what life like, of who we are, becomes the filter through which we consume everything. It's not neutral. It sifts and sorts things into particular boxes, and it always prioritizes preserving what it already knows. So our brain is very lazy and very efficient. It likes to use the neural pathways that it's already worked hard to tread in. It likes to see life in a constant state. It likes to see us as the same person with the same name and generally the same face. And it likes to overlook the fact that we actually change. We go through so many differences in our life. Every 7 years, most of our cells are completely different. But our mind is like, no, you're still that same person. Our mind likes to hold a fixed view of things. It makes it feel very safe and very certain. So anytime we're trying to create new neural pathways and new ways of thinking and new ways of being and a new reality for ourselves, it's really important we understand that our mind is going to resist that process because it doesn't want to put in a whole bunch of effort for a new way of being when it's perfectly happy with the way it's doing it. Because our mind is designed to help us survive. And so if you're a way that you might not enjoy, say maybe you're more shy than you want to be, you're a bit shy, and consciously you're like, I don't want to be shy. Like, I want to feel fully expressed. I want people to know me. I want to feel like I'm connected with people. I don't want to be as shy. And your mind's like, yeah, but like you being like this, we know what's going to happen. We know how people are going to respond to you. We know that you're going to survive. And so how about rather than doing all these crazy new things, how about you just know your role? Just shut up. Just shut your little mouth right now and just be the same person you've always been because we know that you're going to live that way. And our mind is as intelligent as we are, and it can have the most convincing, logical, justifiable arguments as to why you should stay the same. Notice this anytime you make a positive change. For the first few days, you're all about it. You might be using willpower, but you're like, no, I'm feeling great. This is awesome. You're telling your friends about this new thing that you're doing. You're like, this is who I am now. This is what I'm about. Watch the interesting dynamics that happen within your mind around weeks 2 to 3. Notice how things shift. Notice how things start to change. And what might have at one point taken a bit of willpower, but also you felt excited about it, all of a sudden starts to feel harder and heavier. And all of a sudden you have these reasons as to why, even though you thought now was the right time, it's actually not the right time. And even though you thought like, I want to get healthy and I'm going to try this diet, but actually like, that's actually not the right diet for me because like, that actually like, isn't sustainable and it doesn't feel good. And actually like, I want to eat normally on Christmas. So like, even though it's April, it doesn't change the fact that like, maybe this isn't the right diet for me. Watch how your mind becomes the sneaky trickster after 2 to 3 weeks as you start to ingrain this new habit and new layers of resistance start to show up because the brain's like, I don't think so, girlfriend. Like, I was happy to entertain it for a moment, but we need to shut this shit down. Our mind is such a fascinating, interesting part of being human, and it's so important we understand that it has a tangible, energetic effect in this world. You thinking things is not just idle daydream. You are casting those thoughts onto the projection field of life and making that reality more likely. You are. But even if that thought, which is scientifically sound at this point, even if that's a bit too out there and a bit too woo-woo to grasp, it sounds a bit too much like wishful thinking. Appreciate this fact. Regardless of if our thoughts have tangible effects, which they do, they're energetic forces in this world, regardless of if our thoughts have tangible effects, they affect you. You can be sitting there perfectly happy and you have that thought of, fuck, I've left the iron on. I mean, does anyone iron anymore? I'm not sure. I know I don't. But you've had that thought like, fuck, I've left the iron on. And all of a sudden, your heart's beating faster. You were feeling chill. You were feeling calm. All of a sudden, that one thought is like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So you call home. You're like, did I leave the iron on? And they're like, no, you didn't leave the iron on. You're like, what's happened? Nothing's happened. Nothing's really happened in the 3D world. It looks like nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. You were just there happily. But then all of a sudden, this thought dropped into your head. All of a sudden, this thought bubbled up from within your unconscious. And all of a sudden, because you believed that thought, because you put attention to that thought, because you thought that there might be truth in that thought, all of a sudden, there was a very real physiological response just from that thought alone. Nothing changed in your external environment, but you had the thought that says, I've left the iron on. And all of a sudden, your physiology responds to that thought. That thought has already manifested in physical form through your emotions. And emotions are one of the quickest way to get us as humans to take action. Like I said, you called home. You thought about even driving back home to see if you checked the iron. That was just a thought. That was one single thought of which you have thousands and thousands and thousands of thought every day. But that one thought in and of itself was significant enough and believable enough for it to have a tangible effect in your physiology. So let's say, for instance, you had that thought and you felt panicked. And then you realize that, oh, that wasn't true, that's fine. The thing we need to then understand is that thoughts and emotions are different things. Thoughts often precede emotions. Like we have that thought and then all of a sudden we're feeling a type of way. We were feeling happy. And then we think about our ex-boyfriend and we think about how his new girlfriend's like seems really lovely and she's skinnier and hotter than us. And all of a sudden we're like, ugh. Nothing changed in the outside world, but through entertaining that thought, we felt physiologically different. And then when we have that emotional state, what are we going to do with it? I mean, we might be like, I might just go eat some brownie about this. Like, I don't feel good. Like, I'm just going to scroll on my phone. And then before we know it, I might just look at his new girlfriend's profile. And, she is prettier than me and she is skinnier than me. And this sucks. This thought, this innocent little thought that isn't real, according to most people, not only has it created a physiological response, all of a sudden it's created a corresponding action. You're there creeping on her profile. And then that you feel the emotion worse, that action solidifies the emotion that the thought started and you're just like, ah, I feel shitty. That was just a thought. That was one flippant thought. But if we don't understand that thoughts have the ability to have very real tangible effects, not just on life, but on our physiology, then it puts more pressure on ourselves to take our thoughts seriously and to understand that actually we need to manage this shit. Because if we don't manage our thoughts, they will manage us. If we're not aware of what's happening within our mind, they will control it. We will just be automatic machines that have these thoughts and have these feelings and want to take this action and we do it. And we are not those people. We are better than that. We are here to take conscious control of the reality that we want to create, because whether or not we accept that our thoughts are affecting our reality, they are. So the smartest thing we can do if we want to take control of our reality and we want to work smarter, not harder, is to understand that the thoughts that we entertain in our head have very real effects on reality. And so it's our job as conscious human beings to make sure that what we're thinking about actually serves us. Because so often our mind is most concerned with, is it true? We don't want to think things that aren't true. We want to be realistic. We don't want to be delusional. We don't want to be some idiot out there that's like completely happy and is dancing and is blissful. And every single person around them is like, that person's fucking nuts. Like, they are so out of touch with reality. We want to stay in touch with reality, right? We want to feel like what we're seeing and what we're understanding is a reflection of truth. We want to feel like the things that we believe and the things we know and the ways we choose to be are because they're true, because that's a good way to be, because science backs it up. We want to be rational here, right? What we need to understand is that regardless of what's true, we will experience the reality we create for ourselves internally. Regardless of what's true, we will experience the reality we create for ourselves internally. Because you and another person could be in the same room witnessing the exact same events, and you are going to take something different from that exchange. Say, for instance, you and your friend are both at a party, or, you know, both at dinner with your other friends who are a couple.
And that couple, they start to have this like sort of terse conversation where all of a sudden it was just like an innocent comment. And now all of a sudden they're starting to get a little bit bitey and a little bit snippy. And, you know, they're just having a little exchange. Then afterwards, when you're driving home with your other friend, you guys talk about the event. You talk about them having a fight. It is very normal and very commonplace that two people see the exact same thing and take different lessons from it. We take different sides. We're on different people's, you know, like we think, oh, actually that person had a good point. Whereas like say the other person, they may have had a previous partner that treated them like that partner was treating the other person. And that creates an automatic response. You're like, that is not okay that he is speaking to her like that. Mm-mm. No, no. Whereas you may not have had that same experience in your past. And so you don't have that trauma. It's not triggering you in that way. Two people will view the same event and take different things from it. We need to appreciate that. Because how you view your life, how you think about your life, will create a tangible effect in how you show up for your life. And who you are being, who you are in this world, is everything. Life mirrors us. Life is a reflection of who we are being. What we are putting out into this energetic grid is what life is going to bring back tenfold. So what we need to understand is it's not about what's realistic. It's not just about what's true, because the truth that we perceive will depend on our unconscious conditioning and our unconscious beliefs. We can't see truth. We can't access objective reality. Gravity is objectively true on Earth. Gravity is a real force. People aren't going around being like, well, gravity's not true. Gravity has been a proven, found thing, and I'm sure in time they'll understand that they were wrong about some aspects, but generally speaking, we understand that the Earth has its own electromagnetic field, and we are gravitated towards the center of it. We are like pulled in. However, gravity is not a universal truth. Gravity is true for this Earth system. Gravity is true here, but there are other systems, there are other environments and contexts that gravity is not true. And so it's really important we hold our own beliefs with the same softness, and we understand that it's not so much like about what's true. It's not so much about like who I am objectively, because I will never know myself objectively. How you see me is guaranteed to be different from how I see myself. But because you see me like that, you will assume that that's my experience of life. If you assume I'm super, super confident and never have any insecurities, nothing, then you are going to assume that I move through my life with that confidence, taking everything in that easily, never feeling any normal human doubts, normal human insecurities, like normal thoughts. You just assume that that's how my life is for me, because that's how you see me. And so it's really important we understand that you see yourself through the exact same biased lens. You see yourself a certain way, and it's not true. But it's what you've been thinking for a really long time. Your identity is a sum total of all that you've experienced about yourself. Your identity is a sum total of all the things that people said to you. Your sum total is an experience of how school went for you or how it didn't go. Your sum total of your identity is about so many different aspects, and right now it's really important we understand that we actually have control over how we see ourselves and how we see the world. Now, I'm going to butcher this quote, but Einstein himself said that the most important decision we can make is whether or not we believe we live in a benevolent universe. If you believe that life is kind, and if you believe that life is always supporting new life, and that there is an abundance, and that we live in a peaceful universe that really does want to thrive and prosper, you will start to see that everywhere. You know, where you might have walked through a forest before and see these trees competing, you know, these vines kind of crawling over other trees. And you'd be like, man, look at them fighting it out. If you have the belief that life is cooperative, that there is enough resources for everyone, that we are all in this together, then all of a sudden, where you once saw competition, you'll start to see collaboration. You'll start to see nature working together. You'll start to see these vines piggybacking off these big trees that have overflow and abundance to work harmoniously in nature. Now, is it true that nature is cooperative? Yes and no. Is it true that nature is competitive? Yes and no. It depends what level we're looking at. However, if we believe that nature is collaborative or nature is competitive, we are going to experience that reality. we have an interesting part within our brain called the reticular activating system. And this part within our brain is designed to reinforce what we already believe to be true. It's a part within the primal parts of our brain that really holds the patterns. And that is a very important function of life, because even though this looks solid, this looks fixed, I'm sitting in a room right now, I can see a ring light in front of me, I can see my phone in front of me. Right now, this is all energy. This is a sea of energy. It's also true that this is a physical formed reality. This is a level of truth. But another level of truth is that this is just energy. It's all energy out here. Our mind is the part within us that can see the individual aspects within our environment. It's the part that can see dynamic energy and be like, that's a ring light, that's a wall, that's a ceiling. Even though on a deeper level of truth, it's all energy. But what I hold within myself, the thoughts I'm thinking, what I experience within me, affects how I take in this reality. This room cannot just be experienced as it is. I will never just experience the roof objectively and the walls objectively. Everything I think of and understand of this room is determined by what's within here. You know, it's like our mind is a great projecting device. It's like one of those old school movie theater things where you put the film in. And life is this beautiful blank canvas. It's the screen in front of us. But what is played out into our life determines on the tapes that you feed. So what tapes are you putting into your projector? What are you experiencing in life? Because the thoughts you are thinking and the beliefs you hold within yourself determine what is going to be projected onto that screen. And I mean that literally. Our thoughts have very real, tangible effects in this reality. They have the ability to create tangible, physical, energetic effects in this world. I mean that completely literally. And once again, if that idea is too out there for you, if it's too big for you to understand, then know, and you know this because you've experienced this, know that thoughts will have a tangible effect over your inner world. And what happens within your inner world is directly correlated with what will happen in your external reality. So this is one of the first and most important things to understand, is that we are experiencing our reality primarily through our inner world. We feel like we're this person who's just in the world. We're in the world, right? Like, we're just out here, we're in it, we're living our life, we're doing the things, bloop, 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 we're just in the world. However, our primary reality, like our primary, like the closest reality we know and experience, is our inner world. This is the filter through which we experience everything. So the thoughts we are thinking, the feelings we have, the sensations we hold in our body, when you have that flash and that moment of fear, that is your primary reality. How you feel, how you think, how you experience life, the sensations you have, these impulses, these electrical impulses you have within your body and within your system. This is your primary reality. The world, the tangible effect, the ripple effect of who we are, the shadow, this 3D energetic world, that's our secondary reality. But like, we weren't taught that when we were young, right? We were taught this is the world. This is how it is. This is how life is. We weren't taught that in actuality, our primary reality as human beings is within us. We are all our own unique ecosystem. We are all our own unique universe. And what's moving within us will always affect how we filter in and make sense of the world around us. So if you're having a day where you're deeply menstrual, you have no energy, you feel like all the brain blood has flown out of your head, you have nothing in the tank, and a friend calls you and asks if you'll, you know, like, come over and help her out with something. She's like packing things into boxes. Your response to that is going to be fundamentally different than if you're having one of those days earlier on in your cycle where you have like so much energy and you just like, you know, you got your hair done up, you got active wear on, you're ticking things off your list, you're putting freaking preserves in jars, you're doing all the things, and your friend asks if you can quickly come help her out for a second. How that is going to land is completely different. What's changed? You. your energetic state is different. And so it's like, and even still, you know, say for instance, a friend called you to see if you'll come help her out. What are the thoughts that are going on with it in your head? Say for instance, there were two identical situations. You're feeling exactly the same. A friend calls you up, asks if you'll help her. Second situation, a different friend calls you up, sees if you will help her. Depending on how we feel and depending on how we feel compelled to act will be dependent on the thoughts that we are thinking. So say for instance, a friend calls us up and we're thinking, man, she has helped me out so much. She has done so many good things for me. I really appreciate her. I'm happy to help. I've got the free time. No worries. I am happy to help. So we feel good about it. We're like, yeah, I'd love to give back to her. She's an amazing person. She gives so much for me. No worries. Happy to help. We feel good about it. And we're like, yes, I will help. The other friend calls. Exact same state, exact same mood. Nothing has changed. We feel exactly identical to when we first picked up the phone with the other friend. But the thoughts that we're thinking running out through our head is, actually, she's asked me to help her 5 freaking times already. And she never helps me. Like, I don't feel good helping her out. I feel like she's taking advantage of me. I don't feel like I want to help. Normally, traditionally, like how we've been taught the world works is like how we're feeling and how we're thinking is a direct reflection of how that person is. You know, of course I felt that way. Of course I didn't want to help her. She takes advantage of me. She gets me to help her all the time. Of course I felt that way. And of course, like, I was happy to help my other friend. Like, she's so nice. Like, she's always helped me, of course. Like, it just goes without saying. It's just the way it is. It's just how it feels. Like, obviously, that's not how that situation unfolds. What's happening within our inner dialogue will affect how we feel. It's not just because that friend's asked us to help, you know, her 5 times this week. That's not why we're feeling that way. It's because of the dialogue that is playing out in our head. If you had a belief system that taught you from a young age that it feels amazing to give without question, like it feels really, really amazing to give anything that you are able to, that it makes you a good person, but it also means that you are going to get rewarded in return. If that is a fundamental belief that you have, that when that friend calls up that's asked you to help her 5 times, your thought processes are going to be different. What you're going to be thinking is like, you might be like, yeah, she's asked for a lot of help, but I love to help people. I am someone that feels good for helping people. It really does feel great to me to give to other people because I know I'm going to receive in return. I know that if I give when I can, that I am going to be duly compensated and life is going to work out amazing. Has that friend changed? No. But the internal dialogue that we are playing out within our head affects how we feel and it affects the actions that we take. So your thoughts really, really matter. And it's really important you understand that your internal world is your primary experience of reality. And what other people experience of you is going to be a ripple effect of how you feel in your inner world. How we feel within ourselves is so important. Because like I said in last installment, like, oh God, what did I say in last installment? The thought all lined up. That's right. We live in a holographic reality. We are a miniature hologram of the universe. Like in the Bible, they say that God or man is made in God's image. And for a long time, I believed like, they got that wrong. Like, God is made in man's image. We've made God in our own image. Like, I thought that was the message to be taken away. But what I've started to see and understand now is that actually, yeah, in a holographic universe, we are made in God's image. We are made in the image of the universe. We are a miniature hologram of the whole. We are a miniature part of the whole. So the thoughts that we think and how we feel within our inner world isn't just whatever. Like, I used to believe that my inner world was just a mirror of what was happening. I used to think that this thing would happen, so of course I felt that way. That guy cut me off in traffic, of course I was pissed off. Like, what do you mean? Of course. Like, that's just how I think. That's just what I feel because of what happened. Like, I don't have control over that. That's just, like, this was just a mirror. This was my secondary reality. That's how I thought it was. I thought life happened, and obviously, instinctively, reactively, I felt a certain way. A guy didn't want to date me. Obviously, I was upset. Obviously, I was feeling some type of way. That's the only way to feel if someone rejects you, right? Whereas if someone didn't want to date me and I had the rock solid belief that like, if someone doesn't want to date me, then that is the universe like being like, they're not right for you and there's someone more amazing. Like if I genuinely believed in my bones that the people that I'm meant to be with, they love me, they accept me, they receive me, then I'm not going to feel rejected. I'm going to feel like that person is not compatible. I'm going to feel grateful to life for protecting me from someone that's not right for me. You see what's happening here? We have so much control within our reality. Like, we have so much control over the world because we have control over how we feel. Like, we have control over the thoughts that we are thinking. We have control over our inner world, and our outer reality will be a reflection and an extension of what we are holding within ourselves. So, be honest with yourself right now. Have you been paying attention and being aware to what's been moving within you? Have you been paying attention to those thoughts you think? For a lot of people, they only pay attention when they have that thought that's so bizarre or so out there that they're like, what the fuck? Like, where did that come from? You know, the sort of thought where you're driving along and you're like, what would happen if I just turned into that barricade? You're like, whoa, whoa. Like, what happened there? That is so out of character. And the thing is, our minds are thinking machines. They are just designed to think thought after thought after thought after thought. It's a never-ending ticker-tape of thoughts. If you stop thinking one thought, your mind, it abhors a vacuum. It's going to fill it with another thought. You can release that thought, another one will come. It's a never-ending system. And so thinking thoughts in and of itself is inconsequential because we think thousands of thoughts. Thoughts in and of themselves do not have control over us because they're just thoughts. However, when we ruminate on thoughts, when we think a thought and we just start thinking about it and thinking about it, pouring our attention into it, all of a sudden we're starting to feel some type of way as a result of that thought, and we're feeling it and we're thinking it and we're feeling it and we're thinking about it and we're worried about this and we're like, you have given that thought your power. And you are voting on creating that thought into its physical manifestation. You are investing the necessary nutrients and nourishment to make that thought into a tangible reality. Now, thoughts aren't dangerous. You are. Thoughts aren't powerful. You are. And so it's really important you understand that where you are pouring your attention, what you are buying into, what you are going deeper into, is where you are investing your energy. And so let's think about our minds as this beautiful garden. Let's think about our minds as these fertile soils that we can plant anything within. Now, there are a few things that are required for the seed to grow. It needs water. It needs sunlight. It needs nutrients. And we give that plant, we give that thought, that little seed, the nourishment it needs through our attention, through focusing on it. The thought in and of itself is just a seed. It's just like a seed on the countertop. That seed sitting there on your kitchen countertop is not just planting into new life. It's not like that one thought just pops into your head and holy shit, it sprung new life. It's just a seed. It's just a thought. Like, it is just a thought. It's just a seed, no big deal. However, that little seed on your countertop, that one little thought, if you start to water that thing, if you put that thing in soil, if you start to give it the right nourishment, if you start to focus on it, if you're really pouring your love and attention, like, they've shown that actually through loving on plants, like actually sending them positive emotions, they grow better, they become healthier, they have more nutrients. Your attention is really powerful. That's how you nourish your world around you, is through your attention. And so these thoughts that come into your head that you think about and think about and think about and think about, you are investing in creating that reality. And where a lot of people get caught up is because it's like the opposite of what we've been taught. Our brain has a negativity bias where we're like very attuned and aware of what could potentially kill us. And that's why the news is as popular and prolific and has such a damaging effect on this world as it does, because it directs people's attention to one version of truth. Yes, those 40 people did die in that mudslide. That's true. Yes, those amount of people did die from COVID. That's true. However, within a whole world, there are so many facts I could direct your attention to that would create a different physiological effect within your system. If we let the world toil our gardens, if we let the world decide what we should care about, then we are going to have a garden that we do not enjoy. If we like just take in this world neutrally, if we just like are spoon fed by everyone's ideas, everyone's advice, what people say we should be afraid of, we are going to manifest more things to be afraid of. But like, it seems delusional and it seems like a bad negative quality to block things out, right? Because what if that's something you really should be concerned about? If you care, if you're a good, diligent human of this world, you would be afraid of this. You would be paying attention to this. You would be following this on the news. You would be getting your daily updates. If you really care, if you really want to live, you need to be finding out exactly how many people that are dying in this world that you would never otherwise meet. You don't even know that they exist. But they are dying right now of this one thing, and you better be afraid of it. We're taught that it's a good thing to mitigate these fears in our minds before they've even happened. We are trying to solve problems in our inner world that don't even exist. But we think about this one situation, like, what if this happened? What if my partner just lost his job and then blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, we're pouring energy and attention into problems that do not exist in physical form. But you can't convince the feeling within our body that this is not a very real threat, because once we start thinking about it, we start to feel afraid, we start to feel constricted, and then we are dealing with a physical reality. We are dealing with the very real reality of these physical emotions, and now, my beautiful people, feelings are not thoughts. Thoughts you can dismiss, you can cancel and delete. Thoughts you can just throw away. You can have a thought come into your head and you can fucking slam dunk it over to the other side of the room. What I did not learn through books, and what I wish I had of, is really understanding that feelings are not thoughts. You can cancel and delete and dismiss thoughts. You can have a thought come into your head and you can be like, that's bullshit. You can have a thought come into your head, be like, your boyfriend's cheating on you. And you can be like, you know what? That's the biggest piece of shit I ever heard. I am not listening to that. That is pathetic. That's bitch ass thinking. I am not thinking that. That's dumb. No. Are you feeling that reality? No, you're not. Because you just slam dunk that bitch out of the way. You're like, no, I am not thinking that. I'm an empowered woman. I'm not thinking that. However, no judgment if that thought came into your head and you weren't paying attention to your mind and just automatically you started to think other things about it. And then before you know it, you've created a physiological feeling and you're like, oh, I feel horrible. Now, my friends, oftentimes it's only when the feeling takes over that we realize that a pesky fucking thought got in there and it's running havoc. Usually it's only once the feeling has taken root that we realize that maybe back then we'd been thinking a thought that does not serve us. But once it's a physical reality, we need to honor that feeling, because feelings are not thoughts. Feelings cannot just be dismissed. Feelings cannot just be swatted over to the other side of the room. That's not how they work. Feelings have physiological effects within our body. Feelings have organic life cycles. Once the feeling starts to take over and there are hormones released, you know, our endocrine system is involved. Once we have physiological feelings, at that point, my friends, we need to feel. We can't bypass, you can bypass thoughts, you can push thoughts away, but if you do that to feelings, you are creating dysfunction and dishealth. Is that a word? I don't know. But you are creating a toxic environment within yourself. Feelings need to be felt. Feelings, however, do not need to be bought into, because if you put meaning over that feeling, if all of a sudden your mind's back in the picture, you're feeling some type of way, and the thoughts you are thinking is, oh God, this always happens to me. I'm always feeling this way. I was so happy and now I'm upset. Life always goes bad. Man, because I'm feeling this way, like, I'm probably going to sabotage it like I did the last time and blah, blah, blah. No, don't do that. Don't do that. if we think a thought that creates an effect, and we wish we hadn't thought the thought, but we did and we're feeling it, all we need to do is feel it. We just need to feel how we're feeling. And what we do with our mind is either nothing, we just let it think nothing, but minds don't like that, right? Minds like to think. So what we normally do is we soothe ourselves with our mind. We tell ourselves, it's okay to feel, it's just a feeling. It's just a feeling, it's just you feeling this way. And then you remember that one thing that Michaela said back in the day about emotions being medicine? You're like, you tell yourself that. You're like, remember how Michaela said that emotions are actually like physiological medicine from our soul to our human? And then actually through feeling this feeling, like I'm becoming wiser and more resilient and a stronger human being. And outside of the other side of this emotion, I'm going to have more clarity. And like, maybe it's actually a good thing I'm feeling this way. You see how we can change things? Like the thoughts that we're thinking in our head have a very real tangible effect in our life, but especially within ourselves. And don't we want to have a nice experience? Because at the end of our life, like how our life was, there is no objective truth of that. The only truth you have access to about yourself and about your life is your direct experience. Because you could ask me, we could be 88, sitting there in the retirement home, sitting around drinking our sherry, and you could be like, Michaela, what do you think about my life? What do you think my life was? How do you think my life went? Would you be proud if that was your life? And I would spew some bollocks and it would probably be amazing. But like, the only thing that matters for you is your experience of those 88 years, is how you felt while you were in your life. Because you can beat your sweet ass. There are Hollywood stars in their 60s, sitting there in their Hollywood mansions on the Hollywood hills that are sitting there thinking, man, this was a shit life. This was a shit life. I spent my whole life feeling addicted, never feeling good enough, feeling like I needed to make one more film to justify why I'm actually amazing and why I've still got it. I shouldn't have done that last film. That made me look like an idiot. Blah, 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 blah. Whereas like from the outside, I'll be like, oh my God, you're so amazing. Like you should, like you live such a great life. Like everyone knew your name. Like you have so much money. You're so cool. That person's experience of their life is their life. That's all we will ever know. So through taking control of our reality, through creating our reality and cultivating our mind, we are taking responsibility of the most important reality, which is our internal reality. It is important because our inner world will have a direct translation into the abundance we can create in our external reality, yes. But primarily, it is important because this is what it means to experience living for you. The thoughts that you are thinking will affect how you feel in your life. How you feel in your life will affect like what you think your life means, like how you think things are going. You have so much control. And the biggest thing with this mind power is that you take back the power. Because the biggest power really lies in not thinking about what's true, not thinking about what's realistic, not thinking about how the world is. But deciding how you want your life to go for you. This is the mastery level. This is our creator mode. This is where we step back into being God. We're not just being like this passive observer, being like, how is life? How does the world work? We're not doing that. We are deciding what we want to create, what we want to experience, who we want to be. We're not just passively observing our own identity and being like, well, you know, I've just always been this person that likes to ride horses and always puts other people before myself and whatever. We get to decide who we are. We get to create our reality. How we know ourselves is an extension of who we are on a daily basis, and we can decide to be something different today. So the magic really does come from deciding what you want to plant in your soils, what you want to create. That's where the magic is, and that is the only control you have. You don't have control over how the world works. You don't have control over what Russia is going to do. You don't have control over pandemics. You don't have control over politics. You have control over one world, your world. And so choosing to plant seeds that serve you is the most smartest thing you can do. Is it realistic? No such thing exists except what we believe is realistic for us. So this is the part where we decide that everything is working. This is the part where we start to consciously cultivate beliefs that enforce the idea that we're fucking amazing, that our life is amazing, that it can get even more amazing. This is where we decide how life goes for us. And as an extension of purpose, you know, like if we believe our life is purposeful and that we're living our purpose, then that's how we will feel. And so if you choose to believe that you are successful and that life is going to get even more better, like that you're going to become even more successful, then that's how you're going to feel as you journey through your life, and your life experience is your life. So let's talk about how you can practically do this, how you can practically rewrite what's moving within your brain so that you can create whatever physical manifestations you want to create, but most importantly, so that your internal experience is amazing, because that's the most important thing. Stuff is really cool. Stuff, things, stuff you can grab, butts, money, you know, like all the good stuff, things we love that stuff, we love butts and money, the best. But like your experience is, this is the gold. How you know your life to be, how you know yourself to be, how you feel about yourself. This is the magic. This is the best part of life. This is what it means to be alive. So let's prioritize and pour energy and attention into making your inner world a really nice fucking cushy place to be. Because like, I think a lot of people have only realized in the last couple of years how important doing the inner work is. Whereas for me, this is where I spent most of my 20s. And like, you know, I became a first-time mom at 30, a few weeks before the global pandemic hit. And I had a really amazing time. I'm sorry to say this, guys, it's controversial, but I've loved the pandemic. I've had a lot of fun. I've loved being in my house. I mean, not too much. I mean, we've had it pretty sweet in New Zealand, to be fair. And it's not to discredit the very real realities of what's been happening in this world. It's me saying that I've enjoyed the pandemic isn't me dishonoring people that have died. I mean, it's also me just accepting the reality that one thing humans are really good at doing is dying. Proportionately, just as many people were dying before COVID. It's not like more people are dying. People have been dying all the time. However, taking command, when like shit really hits the fan, when things outside of your control happen, because they always will, no matter how amazing you do your manifestation in your inner world, life is designed to strengthen you, to evolve you. You can't plan everything in your head. You can't just see everything in your head before it happens, because that's not what the human experience is. That's not what evolves our souls. So even if you're doing everything perfectly right, shit is still going to get real. Things are still going to go wrong. Things are still going to be hard at times. However, it is so much easier to enjoy the experience and to dust yourself up and get up quicker when you believe and you tell yourself all the time that everything is happening for you, that it's not just happening to you, that it's happening for you, that it's happening for your growth. And so pandemics can happen, you can lose your job, these things can happen, and they don't have to be the difference maker between how you feel. You can still have an enjoyable internal experience, and it starts by taking control of your mind. It starts by taking control of the thoughts that you think.
All right, I hope you got a lot out of that transmission. A lot of interesting information unpacked there. It's all stuff that I just want you to apply and see if it feels true for you. It's stuff that I've applied over the years and has definitely felt true for me. But if you want more, and if you want more of the tactical stuff, then be sure to tune into the next episode where we go even deeper and we talk about applying it to your life.